Good morning, people of Hopewell. Glad you're joining us for our morning worship today on March the 29th, 2020. We are unfortunately not together again. We're here with you virtually. It's still good to be with the people of God, and I'm glad that many of you are getting to watch this through the internet, and I'm thankful that many friends and family are getting to watch this as well. And I do hope that you'll share this as you feel led to do so. There's many other pastors and many other ministries that are doing these kind of things, and so we need to take advantage of this opportunity to share the gospel with people that are stuck at home. They don't have anything else to do right now, but we can share the gospel with them. So I encourage you to share this video and any other videos that you have, services of good men who are preaching the word. Share those with friends and family while we have this opportunity. This is a God-given opportunity, I believe, for the gospel to spread in ways that it wouldn't have otherwise. Obviously, we have no announcements this morning, other than we will continue to do virtual services for the time being until we see the virus stopping spreading. Until it's safe for us to gather together, we'll continue to meet this way. As I mentioned last week, if you would like to send your tithes and offerings to the church, you can do so. You can mail them to the address that's found on our website. You can also make arrangements with me if you want to call me here at the office, and I'll pick them up if I need to, or do it however you so choose. If you will join us, we are now going to begin our worship service, and I'm going to start with our call to worship. This is taken from Psalm 25 and Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6. Hear the word of God. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. That's God's word for us this morning. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to you. We acknowledge you as the ruler of heaven and earth. We bow before you in this place, and we say to you, you are all glorious. You are all wondrous. You are all holy. We worship you, O God, our Father. We confess with our hymns and our prayers the name of Christ, your Son, and him we acknowledge as Lord indeed. We ask this morning that you would grant to us your blessing and your presence, that your word would be powerful, that your peace would be profound, that we may witness your truth today, and that we would be the reflection of your image, that we would be ambassadors of the kingdom. You are the sovereign God. You are all glorious. You are all wondrous. You are all holy. To God be glory forever and ever on high, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Our hymn of worship this morning is Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. And I will, on the Facebook page and on our website, I will have links to these. So if you want to sing along, I really encourage you to do so. We'll post each one of these along with the service, and Aaron's going to help me sing. So we're going to, this is to the tune of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool waters to the desert's burning sand. From this well comes living waters, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory, praise the one who makes us one.
Amen. And we do praise Him this morning. We praise Him as our God, the one who breaks the darkness. Our Old Testament reading is drawn from the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Just so you'll know, I usually read every Sunday a passage from the Old Testament and a passage from the New Testament, not necessarily connected to the passage that we're reading, because the reality is many of us don't spend as much time in the Word as we should. It's just a fact of our lives. And so I take every opportunity I can for myself and for you, for us to hear God's Word and from different parts of the Scriptures. So if you have your Bible, please join me there at Exodus 3. You have time to do it since you're at home. Hear God's Word. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Then the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and I am to be remembered throughout all generations. We studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson, which is also available there online. We studied the transfiguration of Christ and his exodus. And this is a picture here of Moses leading the people of Israel. And in the book of Matthew chapter 17, we saw the true exodus, the greater exodus of Christ leading his people out of the bondage of sin. So I hope you'll watch that this morning. It's a good connection between this scripture. Now it's time for us to pray. And as you'll notice, there's also a worship guide that I've provided there for you where I have different portions of scripture, trying to pray the scriptures as much as possible. And so as you'll notice, we have a place for adoration, for confession, for petition, for thanks, and intercession. And it is true that you might notice that our prayers are longer, at least my prayers are longer than some that you may know, some other services that you may watch. But it's important to us to go before God, and as we pray the scriptures, it inculcates God's word into us, and we're also speaking back to him what he's spoken to us. We know this is his will when we pray the word this way. So if you'll join with me in prayer, let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence again, and we acknowledge you as our God. You're the one in whom we take refuge. Help us to never be put to shame. Lord, help us not ever put you to shame by the way we act. Let us live in a way that pleases you. You alone, God, are the one in whom our souls wait. From you comes our salvation. You are our rock and our salvation. You are our refuge. In you we find our glory and our might. Lord, we know that though man may reject us and when we find no hope in this world, we cry to you because you are the refuge and our portion in the land of the living. Lord, the scriptures tell us that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in your steadfast love, O Lord, because it is forever and ever. We wait for your name because it is good. O Lord, we pray that you would let your word fill us, that you would help us to remember your word. We need your word desperately. God, it's also important for us to take a moment to confess our sins. Not one of us stands before you holy other than through Jesus Christ. Not one of us can stand before you blameless except because of the righteousness of Christ. And so, Lord, we know that we live in bodies of flesh and we live in a world of sin. So we come to you and we confess. We are sinful people. We still sin. Lord, we understand the scriptures that so often you have rebuked us, you have struck us, yet our anguish is not there. We don't turn. Lord, so often you correct us, and yet we don't listen. Our hearts can be hard, and even though the rod you have used upon us should do it, Lord, it sometimes doesn't drive out the folly from our hearts. You discipline us, and Lord, yet we turn from you. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We confess this to you. Lord, we confess that we've not kept the terms of the covenant before you. We've not obeyed the word. We've not obeyed the scriptures. We've not done what you've told us to do. Lord, in so many ways, we have turned from you. We've turned from the truth of Scripture. It might be in the things that we've thought, the way we've thought of people, the things we've thought about them, the things we've thought we would want to say to them, the things that we've had in our head that if we could just have the opportunity, we would have spoken it. Lord, we've thought thoughts. Maybe it's been lustful thoughts, anger, jealousy, pride, and arrogance. Lord, maybe we've actually said these things. Maybe we've sinned with our tongue. The book of James tells us the tongue is a great evil. And we might have used it in a way that has been very displeasing to you. We might have harmed others. In fact, we might have murdered others with our tongue. Lord, we've said things that we shouldn't have said, and we confess this to you. And then, Lord, we might have done things we shouldn't have done. We might have acted on our desires and our lusts, and we might have done things we shouldn't have done. We confess this to you as well. Lord, we sin against you every day. But we also know this, that in Christ there is forgiveness of sins. That in confession in the name of Jesus, for the believer, there is forgiveness of sins. For the unbeliever, to confess Christ as Lord, to acknowledge him as Savior, to repent of sins, is in itself the way to salvation. And so, Lord, we confess our sins to you. Thank you that you forgive us. Now, Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to be wise, that you would give us growth in you, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would have clean hands and we would grow stronger and stronger. That our path would be the path of light. That you would shine on the path. That we would have your word highlighting our path. Because, Lord, we know your word is the light of our lives. Lord, help us to show forth Christ. Help us to move forward, to strain forward to what lies ahead for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us be like the dew of Mount Hermon, like the beauty of the sun of righteousness, that it would shine upon us, that we would live in him. And Lord, we thank you for all the fact that you've done for us. We thank you that we're able to walk in the light. We thank you for the fellowship we have with one another, even in a virtual sense. Lord, we know that there's believers all over the world. There's believers right now joined together, worshiping the great God. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that exists among believers, the family of God, the true family of God, that amongst us we feel the Holy Spirit moving. We know that we are yours because of the witness of the Spirit, and we thank you for this. Though we may be scattered, we're united in Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Thank you for this, Lord. Now, Lord, we do take a moment to intercede. We pray for the leaders of our country, and not just our country, all over the world. There's chaos and all kinds of confusion. Lord, would you give the leaders of this world favor? So many of them don't know you. We pray that you would use this as a time to draw them to faith in Jesus. Give them wisdom to know how to handle the crisis that they face. Lord, we intercede for the ones who work in the medical field all over the world. There's people that are giving their lives to help others, and we pray for them. that you would protect them and you would give them grace. Lord, we pray that you would help those who are sick, because there's hundreds of thousands of people that are sick right now, some that are going to die. Lord, would you have mercy upon them? Would you show Christ to them even in these moments? Would you let their bodies be well? Lord, we ask that you would protect us from this. I pray that you would protect all those who are listening to me right now. Lord, as we stand before you, we pray for your protection from this sickness. Lord, we pray that you would give us health and strength, and especially the older members of this body. Lord, would you protect us from this? Lord, I pray that you'll call people to Christ through this. I pray that you will bring a revival through this, that you will bring people to Jesus through this. You will purge your church by this. We need you. This world needs you, and it's ever so clear in times like this. Lord, I pray for the ministries we support. I pray for Roddy and Becky Kaufman and their deaf ministry. I pray for Michael and Tricia Lee, who are trying to get back to Panama. I pray for Kevin and Jan Rutledge, who are also here in the States, not able to go back to Germany. Lord, would you give them favor in all that they do here as they try to minister here in our country, as they try to get back to their people? And would you protect their people? Would you bless their people, the ones who are seeking after Christ, the churches where they minister? Would you bless those? Lord, for Child Evangelism Fellowship and Fellowship of Christian Athletes, some of these aren't able to operate right now to their full capacity. We pray for Hope House and RUF here at Winthrop and around the state. We pray for Palmetto Women's Center, which continues to minister to women in crisis pregnancy. Lord, these ministries need your help as well, and we pray that you would bless their leadership and all that they do. We thank you, Lord. I pray for the people of Hopewell. I pray for the physical needs that we may have, for those who are sick. I pray for those who have financial needs. I pray for your blessings of provision. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find the things we need. I pray that you would knit us together as a close community, even in these times when we're so far apart. Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for your presence in the lives of the people of Hopewell. We thank you for this. And now, Lord, we want to close our time of prayer, praying as Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And I'd just like to say, should the Tinsleys happen to be listening and McKnight possibly listening, I want to tell you, McKnight, how much I miss hearing you recite the Lord's Prayer with me when I pray. So I hope all is going well with you. In your bulletin there, we have an assurance of pardon, and I think I may have printed it wrong for you, because I meant to put in there Proverbs 14:9. But I think that's not what you have. So I'm going to read from Acts 2:38-39, which is what we did last week. The assurance of pardon is this: "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.'" And from Proverbs, I do want to read it to you. It's a very short verse. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance." And it's only in Christ Jesus that we can stand and have assurance of pardon. It's because of his life, death, and resurrection that we can stand here and know that we are forgiven of our sins. Now Aaron is going to sing a song for us, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." And again, these words are available to you in a document that's on the website. So if you want to follow along, you can do so.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life. to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you, Aaron. That's a beautiful song. Truthful, too. True to the scriptures. We have nothing in us, nothing that matters except Christ in us. Our confession of faith, while we're separated from each other, I think what we'll do mostly will be our Apostles' Creed, just to make it simple. Confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Join with me as we say what we believe. And the question is, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Aaron and I will sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And this is also in the packet there for you.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, again talking about Christ, our high priest. Hear God's word. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. God's word for us this morning. Now, if you want to turn in your Bibles, again, this is where we would normally take up the offering here. It is weird not to do certain things because I'm so used to doing them. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 3 and 4 and really focusing primarily on verse 3. This passage of Scripture from verses 3 to 14 in the Greek is one long sentence. Now, there's probably some pause points and some places there where Paul would have breathed if this was being read. But if you can look at verses 3 through 14 in your Bible, now in your English translation, it's likely broken up into sentences, but in the Greek, it's one long sentence. And it's a sentence that is full of wonderful, wonderful things. It's one of the most beautiful and eloquent passages in the Bible. No portion of Scripture is better than another, but in terms of what's laid out here, what God has done for us, this is a rich, rich passage of Scripture. And so I cannot try to go through it all in one setting. I just can't do it. There's too much in it. And so I'm going to focus today on verse 3 and 4, and really primarily only on verse 3. So let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read just verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the goodness that's contained here. We thank you for the richness of this passage of scripture, for the truth that you provide to us. We thank you for our Savior Jesus. Thank you for the one who came and died and rose again and who now sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank you for Jesus. And I pray today that as we read the scriptures, we will see the work of the triune God in the salvation of man, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working to bring men and women to salvation. A loving, loving God you are. One God, three persons. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless the hearing of your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine your life, the difficulties, the troubles, the trials, the pains, the financial woes, the relational brokenness, all that's part of your life, all the good and all the bad. Think about that for just a moment. Now, I want you to imagine that someone were to come to you and say, I have the ability to clear it all up. You will never again worry about your finances. You will never again worry about not having enough money. You'll always have more money than you need. You can spend as much as you want. You can give as much as you want. You will never, ever run out of money. Your body is going to be well and healed. You'll be physically fit and physically looking good and feeling good for the remainder of your existence. You'll never have to worry about sickness. You'll never have to worry about pains and aches. Mentally, you'll be stable. You'll be fine. Everything about your mind and the way that you think, your emotional status, all of that will be just level and perfect. The relationships in your life, everything is going to be smoothed out. You're going to get along with everybody. Everyone will love you and you will love everyone. It's going to be fabulous in terms of the way that you are relationally. Imagine what life would be like if you had that promise made to you. Now, obviously in this life, this is a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. But in this passage of Scripture, in this portion of Scripture here, verses 3 through 14, for the believer in Jesus Christ, for the one who is in Christ, these promises are made to us, not in this world, but in the spiritual realm. Meaning, all will be right. All will be well. There will never be want or hurt or pain in the spiritual world and in glorification. Now, we're not there yet, and in this life, I can't promise you anything other than more of the same and pain and suffering. That is what the life of the believer is, and that is what the life of mankind is. But in Christ, on that day when He returns, we will have perfection in the sense that we will be with Him. But the amazing thing about this passage is, in one sense, we already have it. It's that already and not yet aspect of the Christian life. We already have everything in Christ, but we don't yet have it all and in fullness. That's what this passage is about, what God has done for us. And here we're going to focus on the blessings of God, how God has blessed us. Notice what it says there. I want you to notice that we have a Father. We are blessed because we have a Father. We are blessed because we are in Christ, and we are blessed with spiritual blessings. Those are the three categories we're going to be looking at today. We have a Father, and that is a great blessing. Now, the grounding of the Father is in Christ. So when we think of a Father in this world, we think of biological. I have a Father. He might even be watching today. He and my mom are my biological parents. He's my Father. I come from Him. There was a time when He existed and I did not. And so I come from Him. And when we think of a father and a son relationship, we think of it in human terms. But we need to change this when we think of God, because He is the standard and we are the copy. When we think of Jesus, we think of Him as the Son of God. And the scriptures say here, look at what it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of Jesus Christ. And you think, well, if He's the God of Jesus, then how can Jesus be Himself God? Well, this is a reminder. Jesus is one person with two natures. He is God and man. And in regard to His humanity, in regard to His flesh, in regard to the fact that He was fully human, God is His God. And He will say things like that when He prays. He prays to Him as my God. He prays to Him as my Father, obviously. And He means this in a different way than we do, in one sense. But we are blessed with a Father because Jesus has a Father. Jesus has a God, and God is his God because in his humanity, he is his God. Now, he is also his Father. Now, he's his Father in the flesh, in one sense, because Jesus was a Son of God, is a Son of God as a man. But in relation to the Father and in the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one, and their roles do not change. And so Jesus has always been the Son from eternity past. The book of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is God. He's always been the Son. He's an eternal Son. I am not an eternal Son. I am a limited Son. I became a Son. Jesus has always been the Son. The Father has always been the Father, and the Spirit has always proceeded from the Father and the Son. These things never change. So this is the standard, and we are the copy. And so if we think of it in the wrong way, if we take our concept of fatherhood and sonship and try to transpose it onto God, we get it all wrong. Now, we are blessed because God is the Father of Christ. And the reason we are blessed is because we have been born again if we are believers in Jesus Christ. The book of John in chapter 1, verse 12, let me read this to you. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us how we become the sons of God. The scriptures are very clear. It's not on not anything we have to do. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name," and we're talking about Jesus here, "he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Which is what Paul will say here in verse 4 there, where he talks about us being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We are blessed because we are able to call God our Father. And the only reason we're able to do that is because Jesus is able to call him Father. And we talked last week about our union with Christ, and it is that union with Christ in his humanity and the fact that he became a man and joined himself to us in his humanity that gives us the ability to call upon God as Father. And this is a great blessing. Because of him, we have the right to call upon God as Father, and only believers in Jesus Christ have this right. If you're not a Christian, you do not have the right to call God your Father because he is not your Father. The scriptures actually tell us that if you are not in Christ, your father is Satan. This is how the scriptures lay it out. You are either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. And so it's a great blessing for the believer to be in Christ, which we'll look at in just a moment, because in Christ, in our union with him, we have God as our Father. And it is true to think of a father in the sense of the way that we think of a father. A father who provides. A father is one who cares. A father is one who loves. A father is one who forgives. A father is one who is always there for you. And in the ultimate sense of that, God is that Father to us, far beyond what any earthly father could ever be. And a lot of us have good fathers, and we're thankful to God for them, but they can never be the same goodness, the same perfection as God the Father. And what a great blessing it is. And that's what the scriptures tells us. We're blessed to have God as our Father. And not only that, but the first part of that verse says, "Blessed be God." We have the ability to worship him. And that's a blessing. We have the ability to praise him. We have the ability, which is literally what that word blessed means. It means to praise. We have the ability because of Christ to worship God, to praise him, to bless him as our Father. Christian, this is a great blessing to us. Don't take this lightly, to be able to call God your Father. What a great blessing this is, because at one time, we were his enemies. In sin, we were opposed to him. We were at war with him, and he was at war with us. But he's transformed us, and the scriptures are going to tell us some blessings, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But we're not just blessed, according to this passage, because we have a Father and able to call God our Father. We're blessed because we are in Christ. And now I want you to notice that this is in this passage of Scripture. In Christ is in this passage about 11 times, in Christ or in him. Jesus is mentioned by his name, his title, his pronoun, or as a possessive 15 times in this little short passage of 3 to 14, meaning Christ is central. Now the whole Godhead is represented here. We have God the Father. We have God the Son, and there we talk about spiritual blessings. And in verse 13 and 14, we talk about the promised Holy Spirit. So this is a Trinitarian passage of Scripture. But the reality is that salvation for mankind was worked through the Son. It was the will of God, the plan of God the Father. It was the work of the Son and the application by the Holy Spirit that allows us to be saved. It's a Trinitarian work, but Christ is central. And so we're not wrong to highlight that in this passage, that Jesus is everything here. It's all about Him in one sense, because without the Son, there would be no salvation. And so, believer, we are blessed if you are in Christ. What a great blessing this is, because prior to this, we were in Adam. Every one of us starts off in Adam. We all have a father in one sense, and that father is Adam. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, there's a big problem with Adam, and that is he and Eve sinned, Adam being the primary. Even though Eve was the one who did it first, Adam bore responsibility because he was held to account by God because he was the one who was given the commands. And so in Adam, we all fell. The scriptures tell us that in the fall, we were separated from God. We became enemies with Him. We fell into death, immediate death spiritually. And by the grace of God, physical death was delayed for most people and for Adam as well. We became orphans. We became a people with no hope. We became a people with no future. We became a people with no inheritance. You do not want to be in Adam. And most of the world stands in that place, in Adam. But the scriptures tell us that in Christ is where we are blessed. In Christ, meaning by our union with Christ, by entering into relation with Him, as the book of John said, not by the works of the flesh, not by the will of man, not by anything that you've done, but by God bringing you to faith in Christ. He puts you in Christ and the Spirit in us. And we are blessed to be in Christ because in contrast to Adam, where we had nothing, in Christ we have everything. We're forgiven. We're sinless in one sense, and that we are, our sins have been washed. We are still sinful people. But there will be that day when we will be removed from the presence of sin. We've been adopted. The scriptures tell us here in Ephesians, we've been adopted into the family of God. We are the children of God by adoption. We've given up no hope for hope. We've given up no inheritance for an inheritance that's imperishable and incorruptible, kept in heaven for us. In Christ, all has been changed. That little story I told at the beginning, it's all there for the believer in Christ. Again, not in this life, but it will be ours. All that is good, all that is God's will be ours because He gives it to us. What a great blessing to be in Christ. Our union with Him gives us this. And the work that Christ did, obviously, is how this happened. It's because Jesus came to this earth. He willingly came to this earth. It's because Jesus lived a life of perfection. It's because Jesus lived a life of suffering. It's because He gave His life for us. Because He died on the cross. He shed His blood as our sacrifice. It's because He rose again from the dead. It's because He ascended to the right hand of the Father and now sits there and will return. It's by the work of Christ that we're in Him. And it's by the work of the Spirit that applies this to us. I want to read, before I read this, in one essence, it's the who you know principle. If you've ever been to a situation where you needed to get something done and you walk into an office and let's say it's at the electric company or somewhere and you walk in there and you look behind that counter and you think, wonderful, I went to high school with that person. We were good, good friends. I'm going to get this taken care of. Or maybe you have a friend or a family member that's a doctor and you find yourself in need of some serious medical attention. You can get it done very quickly. It's that who you know principle. And in the terms of the scripture, to be in Christ is the ultimate who you know principle. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are golden. You have everything. There is nothing that is not yours. There is no good gift that the Father will deny to us. It's very exclusionary, though. Very exclusionary. And I want to read this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's one of those statements. He was a wonderful preacher back in the early 1900s in England, in Westminster there in England. This is what he says. If you leave out the in Christ, you will never hear any blessing at all. Every blessing we enjoy as Christian people comes through us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessings for all sorts and conditions of men. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount gives our Lord's teaching that God makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good. There are certain common general blessings which are enjoyed by the whole of humanity. there is what is called common grace. But that is not what the apostle is dealing with here, and he's talking about a different passage, but this is not what the apostle is dealing with here. Here he's dealing with particular grace, with special grace, the blessings that are enjoyed by Christian people only. The evil as well as the good, the unjust as well as the just, enjoy common blessings. But none but Christians enjoy these special blessings. People often stumble at this truth, and this is where it's so exclusionary. But the distinction is drawn very, very clearly from the Scriptures. The ungodly may enjoy much good in this world, and their blessings come to them from God in a general way, but they know nothing of the blessings mentioned in this verse. Now, he's talking about Ephesians here. Paul is writing here to Christian people, and his concern is that they should understand and grasp the special blessings and privileges possible to them as Christians. And so he emphasizes that all those blessings come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in and through Him alone. You cannot be a Christian without being in Christ. Christ is the beginning as well as the end. He is the Alpha as well as the Omega. There are no blessings for Christians apart from Him. Very exclusionary teaching here, because it's all about Christ. The third thing I want you to see, we're blessed because we have a Father and we can call God our Father. We're blessed as believers if we're in Christ because we're in union with Him and because all that He has done for us. But believers, we're also blessed with what the Scriptures say, every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, and this could be translated blessings of the Spirit. And there, that's the connection here. There's both going on here. It's because of the Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit, who applies the work of Christ to the life of the believer. It's the Spirit that brings us to faith. It's the Spirit that enlivens us. It's the Spirit that makes the Word real to us. It's the Spirit that calls us, changes our will, and conforms us to the image of Christ. It's the Spirit that applies all that Jesus has done. The Spirit brings that to reality in the life of the Christian. And so, in one sense, it's the work of the Spirit that he's talking about here, but it's the things that the Spirit does and the things that the Spirit brings to fruition in us that we have. And so, what are these things? What are the things, these every spiritual blessing that's promised to us? Well, I think it's appropriate to go to the Scriptures because this is what Paul is talking about. And I won't read verses 4 to 14, but I will summarize what he tells us here. He tells us that we have the gift of election, meaning God chooses those who He is going to call. The Scriptures tell us it's not by the will of man or by flesh or by anything that man may do. That's what the book of John says. It's only by the will of God. Election, calling people to faith in Christ. What a great blessing, because you can't do it. You're dead in sin, as am I. God had to call us to faith, call us to life. That's a spiritual blessing. Adoption. To bring us into the family of God, to call us sons and daughters, to take those who were at enmity with Him, those who hated Him, those who were disconnected from Him, and to turn us in to sons and daughters of God. What a great blessing this is. Redemption, to be bought back. We were slaves to sin. Sin owned us, and we were set up and ready for the wrath of God to be poured out upon us. That was our final end. If you're not in Christ, that is your final end. But God redeems us from the curse of the law. He redeems us from His wrath through His own self. We're redeemed from what we deserved to die in. We receive forgiveness of sins. This, believer, is one of the great, great hopes of the Christian as we, every Sunday, we confess that we are forgiven. We are given forgiveness of sins through the work of Christ, through what He has done by His shed blood. What a great blessing that our sins are not counted against us. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sins. We deserve to die because of that. But Ephesians tells us we're given forgiveness of sins in Christ. We're given the revelation of God's purposes. We don't know everything, but God tells us a lot. And as you read the Scriptures and you understand what God is doing, we are a people that are not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of what's going on right now. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want you to get sick. I have no fear of this. God is in control of all that's happening. There is nothing outside of His sovereign will. And so, as believers in Christ, we read the Scriptures and say, this is absolutely normal for us. The world is going to go through turmoil. Jesus promised this would happen. The book of Revelation tells us we'll have things like this all throughout the church age. The revelation of God's purpose that gives us great comfort and hope as we study God's Word and understand it. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, believer, if you've been born again in Christ, the Spirit is a seal upon you, a promise of what God is going to give you, a foretaste of the glory that's coming, and the fact that God's presence is in you. You're sealed by the Spirit. No man can harm you. No demon, no devil can harm you. You're sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in this passage, another blessing of eternal inheritance. Jesus tells us to lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust and thieves are not. Because what you lay up in heaven is eternal. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's always there. It cannot be touched. And it's something we can't even comprehend. God has lavished great blessings upon us. So the Holy Spirit applies these to us. These blessings are experienced in the Spirit. These are not physical blessings. You can't walk away from hearing this sermon and think, I can go out and claim a new car, I can claim a great house, I can claim full healing from all sickness. That is not what the Scriptures teach us. That is not biblical teaching. That's just not reality. But they do promise us that in Christ, in the Spirit, all of these things are ours. Because this stuff is, I'd rather have forgiveness of sins than all the money in the world. I'd rather be sealed by the Holy Spirit than have all the power available to me. I'd rather have the eternal inheritance from God than have eternal life on this lot, in this world, in a world of sin. Okay, let me close it up. We're blessed because we have a Father, and we can call God our Father. It's because of Jesus. We're blessed to be in Him, and we're blessed by the Spirit to have the Spirit within us and to have the Spirit apply all spiritual blessings to us. Believer, that's one tiny little verse. Now it unpacks in verses 4 to 14. You should take a moment and read it. We'll be going through this over the next few weeks. Look at this in one verse. It's everything, believer. It's all that we need and all that we want to know. What great hope is found in this one verse. Now, we know that these blessings, I was reading James Montgomery Boyce's take on this, and he reminded us a few things. These blessings are not available by force. You can't make God give them to you. You can't grab them for yourself. You can't force them into your life. They're not able to be earned. You can't be the greatest person ever. You can't live a life of what some would call a saint and somehow earn the blessings of God. You can't earn them because you give money to the church or because you do good deeds or teach Sunday school for 50 years or are nice to your wife and children or whatever it is that you do that you think I should be blessed for this. You cannot earn these blessings. It's not something that you inherit because you can't inherit it from a human. These are not passed down from generation to generation. It's not passed down from father to son or mother to daughter. These are not inherited that way. These are spiritual blessings. It's not even something you can ask for. You can't ask God for these kinds of blessings in and of themselves because they are not available in that way. They're not distinct like you can go into a store and see a shelf and say, well, I'd like redemption and I would like eternal inheritance. And would you please give these to me? That's not how they're available. They are only available because God chooses in His good grace to give them to you, and He does it through Christ. He does it in Jesus. There is no other way to have these things. This is the exclusionary nature of the gospel. The Scriptures are very clear. Only in Christ are these things available to you. Jesus is central to this. You take Jesus out of it, and it's meaningless. You take His name out of this, and it has no meaning anymore. So, believer, I want you to take great comfort in this. You've been given everything in Christ, whether you see it now or not. The verse even says, in the heavenly places, meaning that in some sense, we're already in heaven. Doesn't feel like it, doesn't look like it. But in a spiritual sense, we are already there. It's as good as done. In one sense, we're already reigning with Christ. It's already, but it's not yet. Believer, this is a great word for us. Now, maybe you're someone who doesn't know Jesus. This is not for you. I'm sorry to say that this passage of Scripture is not for those who are not in Christ. You can be a great person, a good person, a holy person in one sense. Maybe you've practiced other religions or whatever it may be. You can be very devout and faithful in those things. This passage of Scripture is not for you. If you're not in Christ, this is not for you. But the good news of the gospel is this. He can be yours. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, that God raised him from the dead, that he is the Savior, that he is the one who forgives sins. If we repent of those sins, he can be yours. This is the work of the Spirit. This is not something you can earn. But if God is calling you, if he's moving upon you to call upon Jesus as Savior, this is a blessing of God. I pray that you will hear his call today. I want to close this in prayer, and then we'll sing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth that is here. We thank you for the fact that in Christ alone, we have all the blessings of heaven. We have every spiritual blessing. And what a litany of blessings is laid out here in the book of Ephesians in these few verses. Lord, it's everything we could ever want and everything we could ever desire. Not in the flesh and not in this life. That's not something the natural man seeks after. But for those who have had their eyes opened to the truth of Scripture, who the Holy Spirit has enlivened, this is very life itself. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have done all of this. Thank you that you've laid out a plan of salvation. Son of God, we thank you that you came and lived and died and now reign. Holy Spirit, thank you that you apply these things to us and that you call people to faith in Jesus. And I pray that's what you'll do now. I pray you'll uplift Christians and strengthen. I pray you'll call those who may not know you to salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I think an appropriate way to end this teaching from the book of Ephesians.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe. Who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And now receive the benediction. Grace and peace to you who were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, who God made alive in Christ and forgave all your sins. Go rejoicing in the Lord and be glad, for you are the upright in heart.